and gentlemen, happy Friday to all of you, and welcome you all to Drive to HR. Well, we are live on air at this moment, and we look forward to talking to our wonderful guest. So without further ado, let's get to it. Let's welcome Joyce Maroney. Joyce, welcome back to Drive to HR.
Well, thank you for having me, Nisha, on this beautiful Friday. At least it's a beautiful Friday in Nahant, Massachusetts.
How are you, Joyce? It's been a while, though.
What's that?
How are you?
Oh, I am fine. You know, things are pretty busy at Kronos, and they're busy at the Workforce Institute because we're publishing another book this year, so I am deep in the process of finishing the first draft of the book so that we can make our objective of actually publishing the book in November.
Wow, exciting news. Well, we look forward to hearing more about that. But before we get to it, Joyce, why don't you kick off the show by telling our audience a little bit of you, who you are and what you do, and probably a little bit more about Kronos Inc.
Sure. So I'm Joyce Maroney. My responsibilities at Kronos are, first, I manage the Workforce Institute at Kronos, which is a thought leadership program that we use to explore issues relevant to workforce management. At Kronos, I'm also responsible for our Voice of the Customer program, our Customer Advocacy program, and also customer marketing at Kronos. So the bottom line is I work in the marketing organization. Most of my efforts have to do with work that supports delivering a great experience to our customers. But I have about a 35-year career working for technology companies in a variety of roles that include sales support, marketing, and professional services. And actually, right before I came to Kronos, I worked for Brass Ring, which was a recruitment technology company, for about 6.5 years. So I've been in the HR technology arena for over 15 years now.
Wow, that is an exciting journey. And again, we are so honored to have you here with us today, Joyce. So tell our audience, what's keeping you up at night these days?
Well, what keeps me up at night these days is, you know, as I said, we're working on, through the Workforce Institute, I'll be publishing a third book in November. And because in my job, I have the opportunity both to engage with our customers and think about what's keeping them up at night, but I also spend a fair amount of time, you know, on these issues of with the Workforce Institute of writing about issues that can help our customers. One of the things I've noticed over time is there's a very high overlap between customers or companies that are recognized for delivering great customer experience and companies that are recognized as doing a great job for their employees, as being great places to work. So that is what gave me the idea for the book that we're writing right now, is to talk about the linkages between those two things, like how do you succeed and win with your employees, as opposed to in spite of your employees. So we've been doing a lot of work around issues like culture and employee engagement and how do you align the objectives of an organization, which are, of course, to you know, optimize return for stakeholders usually, with the objectives of your employees, which are for things like growth and recognition and work-life balance. And so those are some of the themes that are informing this book that we're writing. And one thing I didn't talk about is what Kronos does, and I'm sure some of your listeners are familiar with Kronos, but just to put some context on, well, why do we care about these issues? Kronos is a global technology company. We serve over 20,000 customers around the world. And our category is workforce management. And what that means is functionality like time and attendance, workforce scheduling, absence management, HRMS, payroll. So products that, generally speaking, help companies manage their workforce. And probably many of your listeners are aware that, you know, recently there's been a lot of news in the press and a lot of coverage of issues that have to do with fair wages and fair schedules. And so these are topics that are really important to Kronos because they're really important to our customers, many of whom have large employee populations that are paid hourly. And so they need to be concerned about compliance with changes in labor laws and changes certainly in wage laws. So we're hoping that with this book is going to allow us to distill a lot of the conversations that we're having as a company around this topic, which is how do we prepare our customers or help our customers to do right by their employees, to comply with all of these, you know, frankly, changing laws, and to do the best job that they can for their customers through doing the right things for their employees.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is an exciting subject, and share with our audience, if you will, you know, some of the interesting insights that you have learned throughout your research while writing about this book. You know, what's the link between culture and, as you said, providing a good employment experience in terms of helping our employees provide a better experience to our customers?
Sure. Well, we've basically in the book, we're going to be looking at about 10 different strategies that the companies can use to win with their employees. And I won't go through all 10 here, but culture mm-hmm. is one of those topics, which is that if you don't have a culture where people can grow and be recognized for their work and where they feel like they can trust their leadership and especially their direct supervisor, then you're not going to be as successful at both attracting and retaining the people that you need to be successful. So, you know, we think that a lot of the other advice that we have to provide or that we have to provide is not going to be as effective if it's not deployed on a foundation of a culture where employees want to be. You know, we at Kronos are very fortunate to have a very strong and positive and employee-centric culture, and we've been recognized for that with, you know, we won Best Large Company to Work For in Massachusetts last year. We've won awards in Canada and India and other major geographies in the United States. Pardon me. And I can tell you as an employee of Kronos that great place to work mentality starts at the top with our CEO, Aaron Ain, who's not only a very gifted leader, but he believes in transparency mm-hmm. and he communicates regularly to our company about what is it going to take for us to be successful and what is that going to take from each employee to make us successful. And so that transparency helps to provide, pardon me, pollen time here in Boston, but that transparency and that communication is a big part of what allows employees to understand what is it they need to do to contribute to that success. But it can't all be one way of senior leadership talking down into the ranks of the organization and saying, hey, here's what you have to do. The other things that we know are important is you have to train people to do their jobs. So you have to be willing to invest in developing people. And developing people isn't just classroom training. Developing people is coaching them on a regular basis. In fact, we think that, that management coaching of employees is probably the biggest driver for their success. So it's managers talking to employees about how they can improve their performance. It's also listening to employees and figuring out where they want to be in 6 months, in a year, in 5 years, and actively seeking opportunities to connect employees with the kinds of work opportunities that can help them develop those skills. So, you know, we have a very strong culture around focusing not only on what people accomplish on the job, but also how they accomplish it. And we expect our managers, and again, this is the best practice that we see across the world, we expect our managers to be active coaches of our employees, because we think that's where the employee's success is going to start. And what we know from all kinds of research on employee engagement is that when employees have that trust in their management, when employees feel like they get meaningful recognition for the jobs that they do, they're going to be more likely to invest discretionary effort in their jobs. And so whether their job is being a nurse in a hospital or being a person who's working on an assembly line or being a white-collar worker, you know, whose output is accounting, people are still people, and the principles about helping people to be satisfied in their jobs and wanting to do a great job tend to be the same across all different industries and geographies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate that, as you said, about that transparency of communication, because when we talk about culture, this reality versus perception, that factor would always be there, right? Because some employees, they might consider, or the meaning that they perceive in terms of culture would be entirely different than the reality. So when it comes to, you know, when it seems to have that kind of a conflict happening in an organization, yes, definitely this transparency of communication would definitely help them. But still, you know, when we talk about culture, there are a lot of myths and ambiguous language out there, right? So
yeah.
What is your definition of culture?
You know, I think in a lot of ways the culture is the reality of what employees experience versus, you know, lots of companies have a certain employee brand. In fact, companies may even invest very heavily in marketing their brand to the outside world and to candidates. But I think culture is what is the value that the brand is actually delivering internally. And culture plays out in a lot of different ways. It plays out in how do coworkers treat each other? How do coworkers engage with the community outside of the company? Most important, what behaviors are valued in coworkers? And so, for instance, you know, in our company, and we've worked at this. I mean, this is you can't just declare what the culture is and walk away. You have to cultivate a culture and be purposeful about what's the culture that's going to make your company successful. So at our company, we talk about character, competency, and collaboration. And in our company, our performance reviews on an annual basis are weighted 40% on those three attributes. And so those are the attributes about how you get your work done. It isn't what you produce, but about how you get your work done. And it's a little more detailed than just those three, you know, kind of major topical areas. But it's about focusing attention on the softer skills and competencies that we need our folks to have and to be developing around leadership, around customer focus, around respect for colleagues, around communication. So those are some of the things that we focus on, in addition to, of course, if you're in engineering, you need to be delivering your code on time. And if you're in sales, you need to be closing business. And if you're in customer support, you need to be responding to those customer phone calls and emails and web requests and responding to those in a really timely and accurate fashion. So everybody's got these different functional objectives, but what I can tell you about knowing whether or not you have a strong culture is how do people treat each other in person? You know, are people respectful of each other's contributions in meetings? Are people respectful of each other's time and delivering their work product on time so that somebody else doesn't end up working over the weekend because they were delayed? And, you know, I think that environment of trust and respect is a big part of what has allowed our company to be successful. And when I look across the universe of companies that show up on these great places to work lists, I think that tends to be true in those companies as well, that they are creating transparency and trust and being very frequent in their communication so that everybody knows what's expected of them, and everybody is motivated to make true on that culture brand promise, if you will.
Well, thank you, Joyce. Well, let's give a big shout-out to our audience and do a quick reset. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to Drive-Thru HR, and this is your host, Nisha, and I'm talking to our wonderful guest, Joyce Maroney, and she is the director of the Workforce Institute, and follow them on Twitter at WF_Institute and at Kronos Inc. That is KRONOSINC. And we are talking more about culture and how to treat your employees well. Well, Joyce, while talking about culture in detail, you know, we always come up with these terminologies like, you know, hire for the culture fit, right?
Yeah.
Why I want to bring that topic on this discussion is we are talking about employee engagement, and this is something related to that because we wanted to bring in somebody who mesh with the culture of the organization and who actually would love to work with the team that we are hiring for. So I get it, the culture fit aspect, but on back of my mind, you know, I have this thought like, yeah, it is true that we are hiring somebody that is going to mesh with the culture of the organization, somebody that is like me kind of a character. So is it a smart hiring practice, or does it kill diversity within the organization?
I think that's a really good question, Nisha, and I think companies really have to check themselves on that. So a lot of companies have employee referral programs, and employee referral programs are often either an excellent way to find people who are likely to be cultural fits because they're colleagues or friends of people who are already at the company. So I personally still think that employee referral programs are a really great channel through which to solicit prospective employees, but I think you have to be careful and check yourself on whether or not you're kind of hiring the same types of people over and over again, whether that's men or whether that's, you know, people who only went to certain schools or, you know, the bottom line is we know from all kinds of different research that diversity helps companies and especially a diverse workforce that reflects the diversity of your customer base is going to help you. And so I think that while companies should absolutely use channels like employee referral programs and should absolutely look for attributes that tend to make people more successful in their company, you also need sometimes to work a little harder to make sure that you're attracting candidates who are diverse in a variety of different ways, and not just to, you know, make sure that you're keeping up with legal mandates, but to really say, okay, you know, as we expanded, example of Kronos, I mean, we've expanded into countries like China and India, where, you know, frankly, our principally North American sales force or our principally North American workforce aren't experts in these regions of the world. So when we went to these regions of the world, you know, we built a foundation of people who are from those regions of the world. When we're looking at hiring into our professional services organization, we want to make sure that the people that we're putting in front of customers and presenting as experts in their business really are experts in their business. So, for instance, in professional services in our healthcare organization, we have a sizable number of nurses who have made career transitions into consulting. So, you know, I think you need to be really clear on what are the attributes of the person that are required for success in the position, and be real clear that there are certain attributes that are required to be successful. In the case of the nurses, having working experience of how an acute care hospital operates and how their workforce operates is really important if we're going to advise clients on how to deploy a workforce management system in their environment. It's not important that person be female or that person be a certain age or that person have gone to a certain school. So we do need to make sure that we're looking at that full portfolio of skills that are required for success. Employee referrals can be a really good way to identify potential candidates. But as we're vetting those candidates, we need to focus on the actual competencies required to perform the job well.
That's true, because your employees, they know who will be a right fit for your own organization. So, Joyce, going back to one of your points, that is the role of the manager when it comes to providing a greater employee engagement experience for your employees. You know, it starts from the very beginning, right? When you hire somebody, even on that interview process itself, you need to let them understand what kind of a role they are going to come in and what kind of a team they are going to come in. So in that aspect, what would you recommend for our managers who are listening to the show when it comes to building that experience, that employment experience, right from the very beginning?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing that we have implemented in the last few years. I'm not going to say it's universal at Kronos, but I know a lot of people at Kronos are doing this, and we definitely do this in my team, is to provide a realistic job preview kind of experience to people as part of the hiring process, so that we get a chance to see them tackling a real world problem that they would be likely to encounter in the job, but also so they get a sense of, well, what's the nature of the work I'm actually going to be doing on a day to day basis. So, you know, I'll give you a recent example from my own team, and then that then sets the path for making sure that when they walk in the door on that first day, they're excited about the job and they know what they're getting into. Because then we're going to do all the right things in terms of training and onboarding and helping them navigate Kronos and meet who they need to meet at Kronos to be successful in their job. But one that we have found this realistic job preview exercise to be incredibly telling about our candidates and also really helpful to them. So the most recent hire that I made on one of my teams was a person who will spend their time talking to salespeople and talking to customers, part of our customer advocacy program, and connecting salespeople to customer advocates when they need references for prospective customers. And so what we do in that particular case is we give the person a case study, and it's small, it's not long, it's probably, you know, a half a page long, setting a scenario about a salesperson just called you and they need a reference and the company is looking for the reference, has these certain characteristics, go. Like, what are you going to do next? How are you going to work with the salesperson, satisfy their needs, find them the right customers to talk to? And I'll tell you, we have sometimes been surprised when we've done this this realistic job preview in the past where candidates that we thought would be great in the job based on their work history and their resume really fall apart on that exercise, and other people will come through with shining colors, because in order to do well with that exercise, first off, you have to express a certain amount of curiosity and investigative powers, because that's exactly what this job requires, and they have to use publicly available sources of information about Kronos in order to come up with a reasonable answer to that little case study. And so I think that helps us make the right choice, so that when that person shows up and they're there for that first day, that first week, that first month and quarter, we know we've picked the best person of the candidates we've had. They've had a taste of the job. And I think that's really where it starts, is you picking the right person. It's always hard. It always feels very risky. But giving them a chance to do a dress rehearsal of what they would look like in action on the actual job in question has proved to be incredibly valuable for us.
Well, Joyce, thank you so much for joining with us at Drive-Thru HR. We had a great time talking with you about culture and employee engagement. So we're down to 2 minutes at this point. And where can our audience find out more details about Workforce Institute and the great conferences, if at all, that are coming up, and the blogs that you write there, and about the upcoming book? Where can they find more details about that,
sure,
too?
Sure. Well, the easiest way is to follow the blog at workforceinstitute.org. Any research that we do will be covered in the blog. We're posting articles on a regular basis, not only from me, but also from our board of directors at the Workforce Institute, who are a group of people who have expertise around HR and workforce management and like to research and write about these topics. We'll definitely publicize the book there. The book will be available on Amazon once it is published, and we'll probably, for people who are Kronos customers and planning on going to Kronos Works in November, hopefully we will be distributing the books at Kronos Works. So, again, just workforceinstitute.org. And you can find out more about great events and solutions from Kronos at kronos.com.
Well, thank you, Joyce, and look forward to reading this upcoming book. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to Drive-Thru HR. Follow Workforce Institute on Twitter at WF_Institute, and, of course, Kronos Inc. as well. So that's it for this week, and we will talk to you all next week. Wish you all a wonderful, great weekend. And with that, this is Nisha, your host, signing off. Thanks, Joyce. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.